I'm going to start right off. If you were in the adult class this morning, one of the last verses that John covered this morning was 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And that verse said, it says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." Now, this verse is pretty much going to be the theme to today's lesson. So it kind of worked out real good for me, John, that you kind of went through this morning, because you made a couple of valuable points. While Paul, and we've been covering this for the last several weeks, was talking to the church of Corinth, he was talking about the kinds of problems that were in the church at Corinth and the kind of problems that they were creating for him, mainly because the things that were going on there were not correct. And so, therefore, they were trying to discredit Paul. John made a point in some of his classes that some of the things going on there, some of the things that Paul warned about, we ought to take consideration to ourselves. These kind of things could be in our church. These kind of problems that are listed right there in the preceding verses could be things that are going on in our church. So we have an obligation to examine ourselves. And as was stated this morning in Bible class, how do we do that? Well, Paul told Timothy, "Study to shew thyself approved." So if we want to look and know for sure that we're doing the things that we should be doing, we go to God's Word. The last few weeks, Dwight's been preaching a series of sermons about the church and about the importance of doing things as God commanded, the importance of living the way and working together as a church by the authority of God. Well, that applies to you and I. Today's lesson, the theme about today's lesson, goes in with this very title. What if everyone in this church, Village Creek Church of Christ, were like you? So this is a very personal question, and it's a question that I want us to, as we go across the different thoughts today, and any thoughts in the future, that we ought to consider this. You know, when we start looking at our neighbor, the person on the other side of the building, the person sitting next to us, it's pretty easy for us to see other people's faults, wouldn't you think? I mean, we don't have too much trouble saying, "Oh, brother so-and-so, boy, he's really out of line there," you know, or "sister so-and-so, she's always this or that." We can find fault in everybody else, and sometimes we may be correct, but the only person that we can fix in this congregation is ourself. And unfortunately, I think, and I have said this many times, I think our greatest weakness sometimes is actually looking at me. How am I living? How is my effort in the church? How does it measure up? Not to brother so-and-so, because I can always find somebody that does less or maybe in my mind does something worse. How does it measure up to God's Word? Am I living up to the standard? If everyone was like me, what would this church be like? That's kind of a bold question, and I hope everyone will, as we cover the points this morning, if you think about somebody else, you're missing the whole point of this lesson. Good or bad, each point we make today is about you, and it's about me. Everything mentioned applies to oneself. So what if everyone in the congregation was like you? Would this be a strong congregation? Would it be a very weak congregation? Would it be a good place for people to come and learn God's Word if everyone was just like you? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient." And I put in bold in my outline here the words "apt to teach." Because most of the time when we think of apt to teach, who do we think about? We think about the qualifications of the elders, don't we? I mean, we can, in fact, a lot of men who really don't want the responsibility to serve will say, "Well, you know, I'm not a good teacher. You've got to be able to teach, and I'm not able to teach." Well, I'm going to take exception to that today because I think each and every one of us are able to teach. Each and every one of us has the ability to teach some. Now, I do understand that just like with any other talent and any other gift, that people have a different measure of gifts and abilities. And if you think back, most of us have either as our kids ourselves played Little League Baseball, or we've had kids or grandkids that have played that or some other little sport. And it's pretty easy to recognize in a short period of time that not all the kids have the same abilities, do they? Not all the kids have the same athleticism. I hope I said that right. Not all the kids have the same ability to learn as quickly. All the plays, the skills, the techniques, the form. I know many years ago, Bill and I coached a little league team, and I have many other teams since then. And from child to child to child, their measure of ability is different. And some kids may go on to be great athletes in their high schools, possibly in their colleges, maybe higher. But one thing I learned is that every kid could learn the basic fundamentals. Every kid, if you worked with him and he had the desire, could learn the right plays. He might not be as fast. He might not be able to jump as high. He might not have the power. But when the ball is hit in one direction, if he's learned the game, he knows where his position is and what he should do. He knows what he can learn to be the cutoff man. He can learn the right move when the ball's hit to the left side or the right side, what his responsibilities are. As a batter, maybe he'll never be a home run hitter. Maybe he'll never hit 400. But he can learn to make contact. And he can learn to put the ball in play and help his team. And my whole point is, as teachers, there's not a person here who cannot learn to teach. There's not a person here who cannot, if they desire to put the effort to it, at least to a certain level, be able to teach and to help out. Whether you're teaching a brother and sister in your home, a family member, and participating in the teaching program, you know, in a congregation. There's not one of us here that cannot grow to that point. The question is, are we getting ourselves there? Are we working towards that point? Are we working to the point to where the men, and I know many of them are, to where they can get up and present a lesson or teach a Bible class? Ladies, are you working to the point to where you can teach our children and teach them right and with confidence? Yeah, it's kind of difficult, and it comes more natural for some people, but there's not a one of us that can't grow to some degree in that area. Now, I want to ask you this question. If everyone in this church were just like you, would we have any Bible class teachers? If everyone in this church were just like you, would we have anyone that could preach? We've got many talented people in this congregation who on a regular basis deliver lessons from the pulpit, who on a regular basis travel around to neighboring congregations just like the ones that's in Piggott this morning. You know, we've helped out at Walnut Ridge and other places. We have young men in this congregation that are learning to speak and learning to preach, and they're taking steps. But if everyone was just like you, would anybody be doing those things? It's a fair question, because today our question is about ourselves. Am I providing the effort towards teaching that I should? As you can clearly see from the verse that I read, it's not just the elders that have to be apt to teach. If you're a Christian, you're required to be apt to teach. Romans 12, verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another, brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Hebrews 13 and verse 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." So my question is, if everyone in the church, the Village Creek Church of Christ today, were like you, what kind of congregation would this be? Would it be an ice-cold congregation? Would there be a handful of people that we would like, and everybody else we would be indifferent to, or maybe we wouldn't like them at all? if everyone in this congregation were like you, would there be some people that were just simply despised? Would everyone be greeting people when they come through the door if everyone were like you? Would we be friendly? Would we be fellowshipping with one another if everyone were like you? Or would we come in and kind of make a beeline to our seat and try not to make eye contact so we don't have to, you know, exert ourselves and be friendly to someone? Maybe we're shy. If everyone were like you, would this be a friendly congregation? Would we have brotherly love? I think it's a fair question to ask. If everyone in this congregation was like you, how would we be seen by the community? How would they see us? Would they see us as those that accepted and welcomed visitors? Would we be out there to greet guests with a smile and a handshake and welcome them? Would we even know that they were here in our presence? Would we ever look back and get to know whether or not there's a strange face in the congregation or not? Would we even come up hurriedly to our seats and not acknowledge them? If everyone in the congregation were like you, how would Paragould, Arkansas see this congregation? In Ephesians 4, in verse 32, the Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." If everyone in this congregation was as kind as you are, what kind of congregation would it be like? See, these are questions that I can only answer for me. The shortcomings and weaknesses of mine I can identify. Would we be the kind of congregation that does good deeds for people if we were just like you? Would we just simply ignore those in our number, those of our number, our shut-ins, our elderly? Would we leave that for someone else to do? And if everyone was just like me, would any of these things get done? Would we show preferential treatment when doing good deeds? You know, sometimes it seems that when certain folks have a need, there's a huge line to help them. And then when other folks have a need, we almost have to beg and plead to get someone to help them out. Or maybe it goes unnoticed at all. If everyone in this congregation was like you, would we treat everybody the same? Or would we treat people differently? I think it's a really fair question as to whether or not we would show preferential treatment. Would we only want to help out the people that we're close to, the ones that we're friends with, the ones that we associate with on a regular basis, and let someone else take care of this other person because they've got close friends? But if everyone was like me, would there just be a handful of people that I would really be willing to help out, and I'd leave the rest of y'all to somebody else to take care of? Would our friendships and our love in this congregation grow if we all felt and acted just like you, just like me? Would we? Would we become friendlier? Would we eventually get around to knowing everybody as well as we could? And I've always said, I understand that people have common interests. I understand that you're going to develop closer relationships with some people than others. It's natural. Greg and I come in the door, we're going to talk about fishing sooner or later, you know, because we have a common interest in that. There are so many different people in here with different interests. It's understandable. But we cannot allow ourselves to disregard everyone else. So I ask again, if everyone in this congregation was just like you, would everyone else in this congregation feel loved? Would everyone else in this congregation feel like they mean as much to you as the next guy? In Matthew 18 and verse 35, it says, "So likewise shall be my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Well, forgiveness is a subject that we talk about a lot when we're in the church. In fact, it's the very reason we're here. If it were not for forgiveness, if God had not bestowed His grace upon us, we would be in a terrible, terrible situation. We'd be separated from God with no way back. But He provided a way, an avenue towards forgiveness. And He also demanded that we have that nature in us. So, if everyone in this congregation was as forgiving and long-suffering as you are, would there be peace and harmony in the church at Village Creek? Or would there be some in the congregation that would just never be forgiven? Would there be some in the congregation that would have used up all their second chances? You know, we see this kind of attitude sometimes. Oh, that person, every time you turn around, they're coming forward. Or, that person has wronged me two or three times. It's not going to happen again. We hold grudges. We don't forget. And I have to ask you something. Why do some people have to do more than simply ask for forgiveness? Why are we so readily to forgive some and not others? If everyone in this congregation were like you, would you be willing to forgive 70 times 7? Would you be willing to forgive a brother who stepped on your toes more than once? Or will we draw a line in the sand and say no more? Would we be the kind of person that Jesus was? Would we be the kind of person that Jesus demanded of us? Would we say we forgive, but yet really we don't? You know, so many times I've had conversations with people over the years, and they get to talking about the occasions where they were wronged. The person that wronged them. Many, many moons ago, this person wronged me. Maybe they wronged me several times over the years. And I'll be like, "Well, don't you think you should forgive them? Have they ever asked you to forgive them?" Yeah, I forgave them. But I haven't forgot it. You know, and I've heard people even make an argument that, you know, well, it's you can't just forget something. Well, when the Bible says forget something, I understand that we don't have the ability that God has to blank our memory of something and not recall it anymore. But if we're dwelling on it, if we're remembering it in great detail, if we remember it and it bothers us enough that we still got to talk about it years later, if it's one of those things that we can't get over, have we really forgotten it in the sense that the Bible teaches us? If everyone was like you, would there be some folks in this congregation that would just never be forgiven by their brothers and sisters? I think it's a pretty fair question. Or would this congregation be known for being long on remembering and short on forgiving if everyone was just like me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come." Again in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, he says, "Let every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So I'll ask again, if everybody in this congregation gave like you give, I didn't say gave as much as you did, I said gave like you give. If everybody gave the way you give, what kind of congregation would we have here? Would the congregation be able to accomplish more than it does now? would we have the assets to do even more than what we're doing now? Or would we be accomplishing less if everybody gave the same way that you do? Would we be able to help our brethren locally and abroad with benevolence? You know, it's been mentioned many times up here that this congregation has been blessed with good giving. We have been blessed with an abundance, and we've had the blessing upon ourselves to be in a position to help out members of our own congregation who are in need. We've had the opportunity to help the brethren in the Philippines after they went through a super tsunami. I mean, not a tsunami, but a super typhoon. And other things that hindered them and caused them to suffer greatly. And we've been in a position to help them out greatly. To help them have food when they were literally starving and at one point digging through the dumpsters trying to find enough to survive while the power got cut back on and the resources came in. And we were able to get some help to them. If everyone gave the way you gave, would we be able to do that? You see, every question we ask, and I think you see the trend here, we can just go to about any subject. It really doesn't matter. We can go to any subject when we're talking about giving. Would we be giving? Or would our giving be based on what those verses we just read? Would it be because we're commanded to give? Would it be because we're happy to give? Would we give based on our prosperity? Would we look at our prosperity every week and give accordingly? Or would it be just something that we do in a lackadaisical way and, oh, ho-hum, you know, I'll pull out a 20 this time, or, you know, next time it might be a 10. You know, just do we think about it? Do we plan it? If everyone gave like you, would our contribution each week fluctuate up and down almost like it's on a coil spring? Or would it be steady? Would it be somewhat solid? Would we be able to do the things that we do today? Let me ask you this. Would we be able to pay the bills? You know, there's a lot of people that give very generously, but if everybody gave like me, could we even pay our bills? Could we pay for our Bible class supplies? Could we pay for restoration and repairs on this building if everybody gave like me? Could we support the 20-plus preachers that we provide financial support to, locally and abroad? Could we do that, or could we do more if everybody gave like you? Or would we even be able to afford a local preacher here if everyone gave like you? Would we be giving as we could, or would we be holding back for other things? Would our giving be based on the reasoning that was given in those scriptures? Would our giving be based for the purpose? Or would we give based on how well we like the sermon that day? Or how much we like the preacher? Or how satisfied we are with the elders? Or whatever it might be. Do we base our giving on those things, or do we base it by what God has given us? Do we set aside a portion each week for the Lord's work so that it might be accomplished based on our prosperity? I think it's a fair question. Would we give cheerfully? Are we really happy to be able to do that? Are we happy that we're blessed and that we even live in a land that we live in so that we can do that? Or do we just kind of work it out when we get to church? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 16, verse 10 says, "Now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, it said, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let every man, this is Galatians 6, verse 4, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. 1 Peter 1 and 17, it says, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In Revelations 22 and 12, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So my question to you today is, if everyone in this congregation participated in the Lord's work at the level that you do, what kind of congregation would we have? Would we even be able to fill the worksheet, the duty list, to get all the tasks and chores done if everybody participated at the same level that you do? Would we have a song leader? Would we have enough song leaders? Would there be teachers for every class if everyone did the work and approached the Lord's work the way that you do? You know, when things needed to be done, and often is the case, I mean, when we have our business meetings and we've got the men in there, there's always things that need to be repaired, things that need to be have attention given to them, and volunteers are asked for, and a lot of times the deacons get a whole lot of work put on them, and they need help sometimes. And when they need help, if everyone were like you, would they have that help? Do they have to bear all the work in the congregation themselves? If everyone was just like you, how much would we get done at Village Creek? Would we be a group? Village Creek. Would we be a group known for getting things done? Or would we be known as procrastinators and non-performers? Would we all step back hoping someone else will volunteer? You know the old comedy scene where they ask for a volunteer to step forward and everybody but one guy steps back. In other words, hoping someone else will get picked rather than me. What kind of work ethic do we have in doing the Lord's work? How much are we willing to put forth? What would it be like if we were all like you? Or if you were all like me? Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 26. My, how many times do we read these verses? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us consider one another to provoke into love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And in verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If everyone in this congregation were just like you, would this building be empty tonight? If everyone in this congregation were just like you, would there even be a point in having a Wednesday night Bible class? If everyone in this congregation were like you, would the only people at our gospel meetings be the preacher and our visitors? If we were all like you, how successful would our vacation Bible school be? And I have to stop and commend the folks on our VBS. We've had a lot of participation. I think it's been a big success. But does that mean that everybody that could have helped, everybody that could have been there, were there? So if everyone was like you, would we ever even have one? Ever? Would our children ever get that opportunity? Ever? If everyone in this congregation were like you and we were in St. Louis for a Cardinals game, would we catch that Sunday game even if we had to miss services? Or even a little closer to home when deer season comes in, would we be in church somewhere or would we be in a deer stand? If everyone was like you, I know there's a lot of people in this congregation that hunt, you know, and I know sometimes in this state that requires going to another part of the state, but the choice to be in church is ours. would everyone in this congregation, if they were like you, would they be here when they had something else they'd rather do? Or would this building be empty? Let me ask you a question. You know, quite often, people try to reword these verses in Hebrews chapter 10. If everyone were like you, would we try to say that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together only applied to Sunday morning? And as long as you're here on Sunday morning, that's all that matters. And I could go on adding more words to God's Word there, but that's not what it says, is it? In fact, it doesn't speak about a specific assembly at all, does it? It says the assembling of ourselves together. It's an event, not a time, that's being talked about here. And so when we have the opportunity and when we're not hindered physically or in other ways that are acceptable, if everyone were like you or I, would we be here any other time than Sunday morning? Would we try to somehow justify and make these verses say something different than they do? Or would we teach the truth if everyone were like you? I could continue with a countless number of examples. I think you understand that this lesson could just go on and on if we just wanted to pick a topic, but it's getting close to quitting time, and I certainly don't want to keep us too late. But I do hope that we understand that this applies to everything. Self-examination is not about finding fault with your brother. It's about finding my own weakness. It's about looking at me on a regular basis. Every time I open my Bible and I read something and it says, thou shalt or thou shalt not, it's not, oh, that applies to Jeff. Oh, that applies to Joe. No, I need to be looking about, does this apply to me? Am I in compliance? If everyone in the church dressed just like you, how would we be dressed? If everyone dressed coming to worship service just like you, going to school or work, or out for a weekend getaway, they were dressed just like you, how would they be dressed? If everyone talked just like you, how would they speak? What kind of language would they use? If everyone lived their life just like you, what kind of congregation would we have here? What kind of people would we have? Etc., etc., etc. But you know what? I'm glad we're not all alike. I'm so happy that we're not all alike. I know that each and every one of us have shortcomings that we can work on and that we need to work on. And that's the point of this lesson, is for each and every one of us to examine ourselves and improve the only person in this congregation that we can actually change, and that is myself. I am the only one that can change me. And you're the only one that can change you. Your heart, your decision, your mind. The only way to make this congregation better is make yourself better. That's the one contribution that every person here can make. We can make this a better congregation simply by making ourselves better, by examining God's Word and applying it to me. So in conclusion, I'll simply ask the last question. If everyone in this congregation were like you, would this be a building full of saved, obedient Christians? Or would it be filled with those that are lost? Would we be full of people who, like Agrippa, was almost persuaded, but not quite? Would we be like Felix, and would we all be just sitting around waiting for another time when it might be a little more convenient? Just not the time for me right now to be converted. Would we be lost because we're too afraid to walk up in front of everybody in this building? If everybody was just like you, would we be a building full of lost people too afraid to come forward and answer the call of the gospel? Would we be too afraid to get into this pool and submit to baptism as commanded? Or would we fail to come forward today if we were all just like you, because we were erring Christians? Would we let yet another opportunity go by and not make our lives right? Would we gamble our very souls on the possibility that I might live another week, another month, another year. That sooner or later I'll get around to it. Would we gamble our eternity on that if everyone were like you? Well, I don't want to encourage everyone to be like me, but I do want to encourage you to examine yourself against God's Word. I want you to open your Bibles and understand that to be saved in Christ means to obey Christ. To be saved in Christ means to submit in the watery grave of baptism, to repent of your sins, to walk away from that former life, and to simply be willing to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be buried in the watery grave of baptism, and then start a new life. Start a new life as one of the saved. Not being perfect forever, but striving to be. But being made perfect in that moment as our sins are forgiven. Let's not forget how valuable, what a reward comes when we answer the call of the gospel. And if you're here today and you've not been living as you should, and you've already answered the call of the gospel, we plead with you. We encourage you to come forward if we can assist you in any way while we stand and while we sing.